You're listening to Paranormal Portal on Revolver Podcasts. Everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Paranormal Portal Podcast. I'm your host, Brent Thomas, and I'm absolutely thrilled you're here with us. And of course, I have my good friend and co-host, Mr. Don Longbeard, here with me.
And like a bad habit, I'm back at it.
Well, I just can't quit you.
There's not enough drugs in the world to drive you away.
Yeah, exactly. You're like a bad rash. No, I'm just kidding. All right, so we are back at it, ladies and gentlemen, and we have a whole night full of fun, or day full of fun. Whatever time you're listening to us, it's supposed to be fun anyway. So we've got a bunch of stories to go over tonight. We're going to continue talking about haunted hospitals, and this will be the second installment of our Haunted Hospital series. These stories, I think, are just really fantastic, and the variety of encounters is really amazing to me. And of course, we've covered many times on the show, whether through the podcast or through our YouTube channel and radio show, that hospitals are one of those hot spots, Don.
Yes, they are. You know, I mean, what a better place to go to die, you know?
What are you going to do this weekend? Head to the hospital and die. No.
Well, how are you here? Well, I came back because you suck.
Turns out the doctors were much better than I thought. No, nobody wants to die, of course, but that's what does happen in hospitals, ladies and gentlemen. And as such, there tends to be, and I don't know, maybe it's by the virtue of people, maybe it's by virtue of people just expiring, that, you know, their time is up, but maybe there's a lot of energy left over from their physical shells that can end up staying put in the hospitals. And either those kind of energies themselves stick around, or maybe other energies come that maybe subsist on those kind of charges that are left in the air. I don't know, and I don't pretend to know. I don't know if anybody knows, but there's a lot of theories out there about it. But there's no question that hospitals are very much a hot spot and draw a lot of people to go investigate, especially if they're defunct and closed down. Those abandoned buildings, I mean, abandoned buildings in themselves tend to draw energies as well. But especially when it's a hospital, it's just like those are beacons for a lot of activity to be drawn to those locations. So it's no wonder that these nurses and workers are experiencing a lot of weirdness throughout the course of their duties. And my hat really goes off to them, because I imagine it must get pretty hard to do your job in some of these situations. Don't you think, Don?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, all joking aside, people passing there, you know, you've got people passing in one part of the hospital, and people being born or getting better, mm-hmm. In different, spots of the hospital. And I bet you if you went to, even if you just went from one wing to the other, you would feel the energy shift from, kind of maybe, I don't know, I'm just kind of, you know, spitballing here, but you know, maybe one's more of an agony ward and the other one's more of a joyous ward, you know, the maternity ward being joyous, new life sure. brought in, and right. you know, the other, you know, another one, you know, you know, where people have died, you know, especially ERs, I can imagine those being really hot spots for, you know, not necessarily bad energy, but sad energy.
Right. You know what? Yeah, exactly, Don. I think you're absolutely right. In fact, you know, the variety of activities that happen at hospitals, of course, you know, again, they leave energy. And so yeah. those energies either become sentient on their own, or maybe people didn't pass over like they should have, or whatever. So it certainly lends to being a lightning rod for paranormal activity. So tonight we got a bunch of stories of nurses and other hospital staff experiencing the paranormal. So are you ready to get into this?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Okay, the first one is I'm a night nurse for 4 years now at an old folks home and had a palliative who couldn't sleep because of incredibly vivid hallucinations. She would describe voodoo people around her room that would just stare at her, waiting for her to die. I didn't take it seriously until the lady across the hall, who rarely ever spoke, started seeing them in her room as well. Legitimate shivers. Wow.
Wow, yeah.
So I wonder if they were legitimately voodoo people, or if they just appeared more like tribal type apparitions, and so they just, you know, coined them voodoo people. But it's hard to know exactly what these people were seeing, but what a terrifying event.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, yeah, how would you portray a voodoo character? I think you might be right. I think they might just be misinterpreting what they see. Right. But yeah. I mean, anybody standing in your room or in your doorway that doesn't look of this time period, there's a question mark there.
Right, exactly. So I suppose, like, even some traditional Native American ceremonial garb, for instance, could, for an uninformed person that wasn't aware of the, you know, especially like when you're dealing with the older generations and stuff, they may not have a real cultural awareness for those kind of things. So they could possibly think that they were something else.
True.
So anyway, let's take a look at this. It's the next one I got is, this one's interesting. It says, I work in a cardiovascular surgical ICU, and we have a lot of messed up people, both physically and mentally, that come through our unit. We had a stretch of nights where each corner room of our unit, it is a perfectly square unit, reported seeing a cat walking around. Mm. Not a friendly cat either. Apparently the thing was hissing at them, and the accounts were so similar to each other that we actually spent probably a half hour looking around for a cat and then had a security plan and ops come up to look as well. No cat was ever seen or found. Two of these four patients coded the next day.
Wow.
Wowzers. That is really wild, right?
So the cat's a harbinger, huh?
It appears to be, yeah. It appears to be like a harbinger. That's a great way of putting it. Is that just a representation, or what's going on there?
Weirdness.
It is weird. Very, very weird. So the next story, Don, is a bit longer. These last few have been quite short. But this one talks about, I work a stroke telemetry floor. On the bot shift, I don't even know what that means. Do you?
No.
B-O-U-G-H-T. I'm not sure what that means either. And ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if there's if that's just vernacular in the industry or what. But all I can do is just read you what I found. So it says most of our patients are elderly. Apparently, there are two things that patients see before they pass away. Some will say that two men are walking in their rooms and telling them to get ready to leave. The patient will call and tell us that these men are big and abrasive in their demeanor, and they are either terrified or annoyed when they see the two men. The other thing they see is a little boy who will go into their rooms and try to wake them up. The boy is usually loud and runs around their rooms. The patients will call and ask who's letting children just run around late at night. Several nights, or even that same shift, were coding or cleaning the patient for the funeral home to come pick up.
Wow.
So they either see these two gruff men or they're seeing this little child. And I wonder, is it like, are the gruff men the good ones that you want to see, or is the kid the good one you want to see?
Yeah, they didn't explain that part, did they? Which one, you know, who lived and who died?
Well, no, they all died. They said that these are what people see prior to passing. Is either the two men or they see the kid. But either way, those patients end up passing very soon after having these experiences.
Huh.
How's that for the creepy scale, Don?
You know, wow. You know, but we just talked about a cat, you know.
Right.
And so, and then now it's two gruff men and a child or a boy, a young boy.
Yep.
That's weird, you know. Ah, that's weird. And they're seeing the same things, though. It's not like one or similar things in the case of, you know, the boy or the gruff men, mm-hmm. but they're seeing one or the other there. But but more than just one set of people are seeing it. That's weird.
Right.
That's a really weird spot, yeah, thing.
That is. And you wonder if it's location specific. So does each location have their own harbinger representatives?
Wow.
For either.
Are they on staff? You did use the word representatives.
You know what I mean? It's like either they're representing the good deal or the bad deal. But, you know, what does that all mean? And I don't pretend to know. I don't know. But it is pretty profound, right?
Wow. Yes, it is. Absolutely.
I think as well. I think that's really bizarre. So let's continue our journey into the paranormal. Okay, now this one sounds really interesting, Don. It says, my town has two really old hospitals. Mm. One no longer functions as overnight, and the stories are unsettling. No one cleans the old ER alone because all the lights and call bells go off. Other floors, there's a kid with his ball, a lady in a white dress, etc. A coworker was cleaning an entire floor utterly solo, which is the norm, and bounce between rooms because the cleaning situation stays wet for a few minutes, and upon returning to a freshly wiped bed, handprints were clearly visible.
Hmm.
Wow. That's pretty bizarre.
Hmm.
So there's handprints appearing, and I imagine what they're talking about is that I'm sure the mattresses are, you know, they're not absorbent, so that, you know, if body fluids go on, they don't soak in. Right. So they probably peel off the sheets, you know, launder them, but then they probably sterilize the surface of the mattress, and
right.
and it takes a while to dry up, but they come back and see these handprints.
Huh. Wow.
That's creepy. I don't know. You know, is that a good thing or bad thing? I don't know. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm absolutely fascinated by the paranormal. And, you know, obviously because I do a show about it, right? So, I mean, obviously I'm really intrigued by all of this, but I don't know if I experienced these things myself. And I've had several different experiences, don't get me wrong, but I've never seen handprints appear, and I don't know how I would process that if it was really, you know, happening to me. It's easy to think, it's a handprint, big deal, you know, move on. But if you know those shouldn't be there and they keep appearing and you don't know what's leaving them, you know, that gets to be a whole different game all of a sudden. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it certainly does. You know, it's certainly a game changer when you realize that, oh my, you know, this is more than just, you know, somebody walking through and doing these things, you know, and right. and the number of times it happens, you know. Yeah. Yeah. I could probably leave it.
Right. Now here's one that's going to be real creepy, and it's very short, but I've heard a ton of these stories in my research, and this seems to be a theme that comes quite often, but this is not my personal story, but when my mom worked as an ER nurse, a guy came in from a car accident and was losing blood in the midst of a resuscitation. The man jolts awake and screams, "Don't let me go back there. Please, please, please don't let me go back." Mm. And a few seconds later, they lost him.
Wow.
You know, that's the tough one. And here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, a lot of things when they happen in life, it's like, well, you know, you can... you can see your way through it. You can change, you know, like say you have a bad habit, you know, you're a big drinker and it's not healthy. Well, you can change it and you can correct that. But what if it's at the end of the journey and you can't like correct that, can you? I mean, or can you? I don't know. And that's a whole philosophical discussion, but we assume whatever we transition to is our experience from then on. Like that's it. That's where whatever we experience there is what we get to experience for, you know, our understanding of eternity. So what if it sucks? What then? Because that's it. That's the ticket. You got punched and, you know, you're on the ride and that's where they drop you off. And what the hell?
Yeah.
Right?
That would suck. Yeah.
Is that not just freaky, Don?
Yeah.
So, I mean, these people are seeing something that terrifies the hell out of them.
Right.
And there's not a damn thing they can do about it. I mean, really, there's not a damn thing you can do about it. It's like, well, see what you just took a peek at? Well, you're coming back, you know, and you know, like somebody's bleeding and you can't stop it. There's only so much we can do on this end to keep people alive.
Right.
And sooner or later, that's the journey. So, I mean, my heart goes out to those people. It really does, because the idea of people living in torment for an eternity is absolutely terrifying. This one doesn't sound so terrifying. It says, I work midnights in a long-term care facility as a nurse's assistant. I have two men under my care, and both of them are unable to use their call lights. They have severe dementia and debilitating Parkinson's disease, but still, their lights are looped around their bed rail, and one night, the light came on, and I went to answer it, already confused and actually creeped out. Well, I turned it on and left the room, or I turned it off and left the room, rather, and before I could get two doors up, the light came back on. I went in there, and both lights were unplugged from the wall and thrown under their beds. I fished them out, plugged them back in, and left. I've seen shadows standing over the dying and felt a tap on my shoulder while doing chest compressions, so I knew that lady had passed. I'm not a believer, but some of these things just can't be explained.
Wow.
So, you know, and I imagine if you're working right in that fringe, you know, on the very edge of life and death, if that's where you work and that's where these people do work, I mean, they are right on that teetering point where people need help to stay alive.
Mm-hmm.
I'll bet you they all experience weird stuff that they can't unexplain, that is unexplained, rather.
Yeah, no doubt. Mm-hmm. You know, but you know, was the tap on the shoulder from a coworker?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like saying, "Hey, you know what? It's done. There, it's gone." You know, is that what that was, or was that like,
well, I assume if
it's a normal type of tap on the shoulder, you know?
Yeah, I assume that if the person, you know, made mention of it, it must have been unexplained. So,
yeah, that'd be crazy too.
Yes, it would. All right, so I've got another, and this is, let's see. I was pulling a guard shift in the CHS on FOB Spiker, Speicher, on night in Iraq. There hadn't been any action for the whole previous week or so. The staff was all racked out, and I was walking the halls, and everything was supposed to be off or on standby. I walked past one room that they used for locals who were victims of trauma, and the lights were on, so I toggled the switch down to turn them off, and I started walking down the hall again, and I saw the lights come back on out of the corner of my eye. This is when I went into full alert mode, safety off and low ready. I cleared the corner and looked into the room, and there was nothing. I put the switch back in the down position again and went to call it up on the... I'm going to start that over. I put the switch back in the down position again and went to call it up on the intercom. The radio was on the Fritz, so I began walking back to the CQ desk to report it in person. The lights turned back on. At this point, I'm a little on edge. I can't radio in for help. There's nobody on this side of the compound that would hear me yell, and the light switch position keeps changing when the lights go back on. Keep in mind that I'm on a forward operating base in a combat zone. I don't know what I was expecting when I went to clear the corner and look into the room again, but I saw nothing but an empty room, a gurney, a heart monitor, and a crash cart. And I couldn't tell you to this day why I said what I did, but I was worried that if I didn't, the lights would keep switching back on. So I said, if you're scared of the dark, I'll leave the light on for you.
Mm-hmm.
I finished my shift and left the light on. I left a note with the desk that one of the surgeons had asked me to always leave the light on just in case they had an emergency come in. Mm-hmm. For the remainder of my shifts, that light always remained on. Now that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like that. I like the idea that he had a situation, you know, and it was an uncomfortable situation, but he actually communicated and there is that possibility that it's a spirit that's just afraid. It doesn't know what to do. It hasn't right. transitioned and it's stuck, right. but it doesn't want to be in the dark. So I think that one's kind of beautiful. What do you think?
Well, I think, remember, we read a story, I don't remember if it was last week or just the last couple of weeks, about one of the stories was if you leave the TV on, it, and I think it was a room that was converted yes. into like a storage closet.
Yeah, yep.
And they had a TV in there, and as long as the TV was on, everything was cool.
Yep.
Yeah.
But when they turned off the TV, all hell broke loose. Yeah.
Yeah, literally,
They would have racket and calls and right. Electrical issues, but as soon as the TV was left on, it was peaceful. So I'll read this one and then we'll go to break. So
okay. let's
check out this one. It said, worked at a hospital doing transport for a couple of years. The transport home base was in the basement of the hospital. So this is where all the laundry is done and supplies are also sorted there. And I hated working late nights after this incident. On this particular night, I was the only one in the basement when I heard whistling at the end of the hallway by the elevator. I poked my head around the corner, expecting to see my only coworker on duty that night, but there was absolutely no one there. Well, I shrugged it off. I'm not really easily spooked. Nights are slow, so I ate some snacks and hung out in the break room for a bit. Next thing I know, I hear a loud bang. I walked into the hallway, and the bed is rolling down the hall, bumping into the sides. Oh, man. At this point, I think that my coworker is BSing me, so I radioed him, and he says he's upstairs in the cafeteria. I still don't believe him and think I'll catch him in the act. I walk past the laundry room and the machines start. Pop my head in there expecting to find him, but it's completely empty. Okay, starting to get a little nervous now. I walk in the laundry room and the machines completely stop. I freeze, then run out and head towards the elevator when I hear the whistling again. At this point, I know I'm the only worker in the basement. As I'm standing there waiting for the elevator, things start falling off the shelves down the hall. Boxes of gloves, tissues, packages of tubes. I'm literally standing there watching them fall off one by one at the opposite end of the hallway. I kid you not, my entire body broke out in goosebumps. My hair stood on end, and I had this strong gut feeling that I was being watched. I was not alone. And I'm getting into the elevator. I feel what feels like someone brushing my arm. I went upstairs, found my coworker in the cafeteria, freaked out to him, and got the hell out of there, and transferred soon after that. The creepy thing to add to it is that I usually whistle mindlessly to myself at work. It was almost as if the spirit was mimicking me. The creepiest feeling ever. Now that's a whole lot of intensity.
Yeah.
Could you imagine that experience?
Well, and it's just so much experience too.
That's what I mean. It's not just
Yeah, exactly. The overwhelming amount of energy that's going through there it could be just horrible for a lot of people if mm-hmm. they notice it, you know?
Right. No, there's no question that is an off the charts kind of experience. Now whatever's doing it, it's got to be a pretty powerful thing, because I mean it's a big deal to have like a spoon fall off the counter or something. I mean that's a big deal, and then when you consider a whole hallway of stuff going crazy and whistling, there's auditory sounds, there's physical experience, there's things moving a bed rolling down the hall. I mean, that's a whole lot. So I don't blame the person. I don't think I'd want to work there either.
Yeah, I'd be forgetting the heck out too. Yep. See ya.
Going code nope. Code nope. Sorry. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break real quick. So we will be right back. Don't go away for more of the Paranormal Portal and these haunted hospitals. I'm telling you, this is off the charts. Ba-dum-bum. Thank you very much. I don't get paid for the humor, so, you know, you get what you get. All right, we'll be right back, everybody. Hey, guys, Brent Thomas here of the Paranormal Portal Podcast. We just wanted to take a moment to introduce you to the Paranormal Portal Store. We've got t-shirts, hoodies, leggings, stickers, mugs, you name it, you might find it over there. So head on over to teespring.com/stores/paranormal-portal, and you too can help fund the Paranormal Portal Podcast. Thank you so much for all that you do, and thank you for being a part of our Paranormal Portal family. Everybody, welcome back, and we're going to continue on our journey here into the haunted hospitals out there in all across the nation and around the world. We've had a bunch of amazing stories and really, really freaky phenomena, huh, Don?
When you have, you know, things that happened and you can avoid those things by turning on a light or turning on a radio or turning on a TV, you know, or something like that, in a hospital, there's definitely something going on. And it's crazy to think, you know, how much, like I just said, you know, all the energy that goes through places like that. So, you know, and being able to appease those spirits or apparitions or whatever they are, you know, which is these simple things, and still can be congenial to them, you know, it's really kind of an awesome thought.
It is. I think it's cool. I mean, if you can reach an understanding with the spirit and be peaceful or in a peaceful situation, I think it's really cool, but it's just hard to know if you can, and it's hard to know what's the right move. Some of them just seem to want to be left alone. They just don't want anything to do with the living, but then there's other ones that just want to be acknowledged. There's other ones that seem to, you know, want some kind of interaction. So it's tough, but especially, you know, the point that came up in that one story where the guy's in Iraq, and it mm-hmm. was just a matter of leaving a light on, and that created a peaceful situation.
Right.
You know, that's really powerful, I think.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, let's continue on our journey. See what else we turn up on this amazing run through the Paranormal Portal. All right. This one is, has two stories, Don. So the first story is, patient had been in the CCU where I work at the time for a long period of time, 6 months actually. And we had finally been transferred to med surg floor. Sometimes these words are a little awkward for me being a non-medical person, but I imagine that makes sense to nurses and such. So he was transferred to med surg floor, and he coded. We worked on him for 45 minutes to an hour, and he had no pulse or heart rhythm the entire time. And the doctors had decided to call it. And his family walk into the room, leans over, rubs his chest lightly, and says his name. And immediately he regains a pulse and regains consciousness. Wow, that's really powerful. Now, yeah. The second story is, patient comes in coding, and we're working on him. We're actually getting nothing. So we bring in his wife to say goodbye, and she starts yelling at him at the top of her lungs, and he comes back. So we arrange a transfer to a tertiary hospital, and he codes again. So she comes back and yells at him again, and he comes back again. cuts to they are loading him into the helicopter. He codes again, so they bring him back into our ER after working on him for a bit on the helipad, and his wife yells at him again, and once again, he immediately comes back. Every time, eventually, they decided to have his wife ride in the helicopter with him to make sure she can scare him back to life if he were to code again. The guy ended up living and received a heart transplant and is still alive to this day, all thanks to his wife scaring that life back into him.
Oh my goodness. He was like, too scared to die and leave her alone. Is that what it was? Or was it the more sweet thing? It's like, you know, he heard her voice calling to him, whether, you know, whatever the volume level was on that, but yet yeah. wanted to return to her, you know. So yeah. If you look at it either way, but yeah. Oh my goodness, that's kind of crazy.
I know. He's like, oh, nag, nag, nag. Yeah, you know. Okay, pulse. Pulse is the top one on the honeydew list, apparently. That's pretty crazy. She yelled at him and he came back. What an epic story, though. That's cool.
Yeah, yeah.
The first one was the light touch and the sweet words. Boom, that guy came back. The next guy just has this really loud wife. And he's terrified of her or something. So this one has to do with a psych hospital, Don.
Oh,
and those are really tragic places, I think, because of course, these are tortured people. They are tortured by, you know, whatever's out of balance or whatever's not lined in their mind or their psyche, and those are just really tough places. And of course, that's a real big hotspot as well for paranormal investigating is these defunct psych hospitals. There just seems to be a lot of pain and suffering, and of course, traditionally. Care for the mentally ill was never very never humane.
Yeah, humane. Yeah, good. Yeah,
never humane treatment historically, and so I guess it doesn't surprise me that there's so much pain and potentially presences due to that. But let's see what this story talks about. And it says, "I worked overnight security at one of the largest, best, and oldest hospitals in the U.S. My fellow security officers and I all have stories." About one building in particular, but the one that I'll tell is the one that happened to me. The backstory, this hospital was built in the late 1800s, and it was originally a psychiatric building for this hospital. Now, being the late 1800s, not much was really known about psychiatric disorders. On top of that, this hospital was known for its medical research. With both of those facts combined, you can infer that some terrible stuff was done to these misunderstood psych patients in this building. A couple of years before I started working security there, this building had been converted into offices after a newly built part of the hospital dedicated a section for the updated psych ward. My story is my rounds for that night happened to include said building, and that night, this building was empty. Due to recently being converted into offices, and the drones who work there wanting to leave promptly at 1700, if not earlier. In some of their haste, they left their office doors unlocked, which is a big no-no due to medical information being located in their offices. It was our duty to go to each floor and make sure every door was locked, and if it wasn't, to secure it ourselves. I did my initial sweep of the building to make sure it was clear, nobody was in the building, and proceeded to do my door checks. The hallways were pretty narrow, so I could check both sides of the hallway doors at one time. And at the end of this hallway, there are two sets of doors you had to go through to reach the final office, which was a dead end. Everything was secure, awesome. Time for the next floor. I exited the two sets of doors from the dead end office and stood absolutely frozen from what I saw. Every door was ajar, set perfectly so their own weight couldn't cause them to shut again, and one wheelchair at the end of the said hallway facing towards the steps. I had heard other security officers outright reject that set of rounds due to strange stuff happening there, but I laughed at it. I laughed it off until that night happened and never took those rounds again. My second story is the old children's ICU is currently under construction to be turned into medical labs, so we have to patrol the area. once again to make sure the area is secure, to report it to the contractor, foreman, and make sure they stayed to the plan for the next day. When patrolling this area, several security officers have reported seeing a single white male child around the age of 5 to 7 with short brown hair, think like a 90s bowl cut. I personally dismissed this, and this was before the psych ward incident, as a tall tale told with the intent to scare me because I was new at the time. I got that building's patrol one night, and a foreman who stayed late called security and asked for a security officer to come up because a kid locked himself in a room, and I don't want him to get hurt with all the open wires in there or something to that effect. Well, I unlocked the door for him, looked in what could be only be a 10 by 8 room for about 10 minutes. There was no kid. Called it in as a false alarm and finished my patrol. The third story says, had a special detail, which is basically babysitting a violent psych patient, along with another security officer who woke up in the middle of the night, recognized the other officer, and said hello. He sees me and immediately starts screaming at me not to hurt him. Now, I'm a rather large gentleman at 6'2" and 250 pounds, but I try not to make myself too intimidating around psych patients as not to escalate the situation. Well, he keeps screaming at me not to hurt him, and he says if I promise not to, he would make something good happen for me. I promise when he calms down and goes back to sleep, and I really forget about it. The next day, I got a permanent set of rounds and a pretty good promotion. Easily a coincidence, but interesting nonetheless. The fourth story is, fellow security officer had rounds in the aforementioned psych building, heard a call on the radio in what could only be described as dry throat terror voice for one officer for backup. I was close, so I responded to this call, letting him know I was on the way. When I got there, he had his head between his knees and was silently crying with a shattered chandelier a couple of feet next to him.
Wow.
Now, before I had experienced the abnormal happenings in this building, I would have written off his testimony as idiocy. But he claimed that something held him in that spot as the chandelier started swinging wildly until it started to fall. When it started to fall, he was let go and allowed to move, and scrambled out of the way before it hit him. Got up, calmed him down, and took him back to the supervisor. She yelled to one of our other supervisors, almost lost another one, and the other supervisor laughed and said, "Why do you think we send the new guys? Ha ha, you don't even know. You know I don't even like going over there." I'm sorry, I read that bad. Let me reread that part. Mark that, please. The other supervisor laughed and said, "Why do you think we send the new guys? Ha ha, you know I don't even like going over there." That guy is my roommate and hates when I bring up that experience. Wow.
Oh, man.
That's a whole bucket full of activity. That's a crazy building. Wow. Yeesh. Okay. Now this one sounds good. It's a little longer again, but I like these longer ones too. They have a lot more background in them. So this one is, I had cared for an elderly woman with no family who came to us when her husband died. She didn't speak often, but when she did, it was usually just words that made not a lot of sense together. So I felt so bad for her because ever since she had arrived, so many of the residents in her area that seemed to enjoy spending time with had passed in such a short time span. She put up a picture of each of them next to her pictures of her husband and several others who were probably family to remember them. I had always felt sorry for her and showed her extra attention, and we became close. It just seemed so unfair that she had such luck and kept losing people that she cared about. One day she looked at me and said, plain as day, "Sweetie, I think I'm done now," and handed me a picture. And it was a picture of me, and I smiled because it touched my heart that I was that important to her. She passed nearly a week later, and I cried for days. It hit me really hard. She knew it was the end for her, and she said goodbye as best she could. A little less than 2 years later, I was talking with a colleague and she came up in conversation. My colleague referred to her as that crazy woman, which seemed really out of character for her, and it shocked and offended me deeply. I expressed this to her not so nicely, and she looked at me with a shocked look and said, "Oh dear, do you not know?" And then explained something to me that I had not known. As it turned out, it came out sometime after she had passed that she had killed her husband by poisoning him, and that there was an investigation because it appeared that she had a ritual of befriending someone, obtaining a picture of them, and hiding the picture until she could kill them, usually by poisoning, and then displaying the picture as a sort of trophy. It was suspected that this may have been the reason for the spike in mortality rate during her stay and the considerable number of photos in her collection.
Wow.
The last I heard, the old family photos weren't any relation to her, and the police were trying to ID the individuals and compare them to several cold cases.
Wow.
So this person obviously avoided being eventually poisoned.
Huh.
Wow, that is really super creepy.
That is, you know, and, you know, I would love to find out what the police, you know, found during their investigation. They indeed were able to connect any of these photos to the deaths, a poisoning death or a mysterious death of that type, to that lady.
Yeah, that's really crazy. Very, very crazy. I'm a psychiatric nurse, and I worked in an acute care adult unit, but was sent to work with the kids one evening shift. It was after 10 p.m. and all of our patients were in their rooms and in bed. And I heard a child screaming and a psych tech trying to calm him. And I ran to the room. The 7-year-old boy was hysterical. He was crying, sweating, and shaking. And he said he saw something. After he finally settled down, he told me that he saw a white man with gray hair in a hospital gown in his room. While we discussed what he saw, the child froze in fear, tears rolling down his face, and he said, "Miss, whoa, there, be still. Oh my God, he's right behind you."
Mm.
We decided to address the man and tell him that the little boy was scared, and the boy said that the man turned around and left after that. The only thing anyone in the unit would have heard was the boy screaming at the beginning. All other discussion was in his room and quiet. Not even 3 minutes later, a 17-year-old male at the end of the hall started screaming. I ran to his room. He was standing on his bed trying to get away from a white man in a hospital gown. So this really was there.
Wow.
That's a solid apparition, right?
Yeah, definitely a full manifestation.
Yeah. Well, at least for these kids, for some reason, they're able to see them, but apparently the adults were not. Wow. Yeah. That's hardcore. All right. So this one sounds like it should have been on our other show, Don. Let me read it and you can tell me. I have a couple of stories, one from my mom and one from me. My mom's is probably really the creepiest and has always really stuck with me, especially with all the paranormal stuff she has seen. My mom worked night shift at the hospital in Arizona in a town by the border and, go figure, an old mining town. Well, anyway, she's working her shift at night, going room to room, when an old lady who walked the hospital walls due to insomnia told her some weird goat man kept trying to get in through the doors. My mom didn't think anything of it, but she's Catholic and had those moments of silently praying to herself. After a few moments, there was a shriek. She couldn't explain it, but that it was a horrible shriek that made your blood turn to ice. She then went to the nurse's station to ask if anyone else heard that, in which they all did. Come to find that the shriek was heard all around the hospital, freaking everyone out, especially paranormal religious ladies and men. Okay. A few of them go to look out their windows and see hoof marks by the doors and windows, and the marks had no trail towards or away from the building.
Wow.
Now, my story is really creepy, and I too am a CNA and worked at a locked down dementia and Alzheimer's unit at night. I had creepy moments, but this one will always stick with me. I was finishing up my binders when a light goes off in the hall, so I took it and punched in my code in and went out since the other CNA was busy with someone else. I go in and ask if everything is okay. Sleepily, my little old lady tells me there's a darn woman who keeps knocking on her window wanting to come in and that she really wants to go back to sleep. She insists I go and let her in, and I'm thinking to myself, oh no, this sounds all too familiar. I reassure her, peek out the window, and nothing. Maybe she was dreaming and really tired and mistook it as her roommate. After that incident, I head back into my unit, sit, eat a snack, chat with my head nurse, talk with my usual insomniacs. Mind you, it's about 3 in the morning now. Light goes off, and in my unit, also, this unit has no outbound lines at all. I head down to her hall and ask if all is okay, and my lady says she can't sleep. Someone keeps banging on her window, and she's scared. I pretty much about pooped myself at this point. I again reassure my lady, thinking what just happened, and I tell my nurse, and she laughs and said this has been happening for years. Great. It says great at the end. Yeah, so those could be Skinwalker stories, Don.
Yeah, you know, it was especially, yeah, the deer person and the hooves. Yeah, definitely.
The goat, yeah.
The goats, yeah. And those are always, you know, they're the scary ones. They are the scary ones.
Yeah, they really are creepy. Wow.
I don't want to bump into one of those.
I think that can be, unanimous for the Paranormal Portal. We vote no. We don't want to bump into goat people or any skinwalkers.
Yeah.
And pretty much a lot of what we cover on the show.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, just stay the hell away.
So I'm a nurse, and I've been working night shifts at hospitals for over 7 years now, and I have quite a few stories. Came into work one night, and Jen, one of the other nurses, told me and my other coworker, Jay, the creepiest thing that happened a few hours earlier. A patient had passed in one of the rooms abruptly. The room was cleaned and was quickly occupied by another patient, who also coded and was pronounced dead, but was then resuscitated. Soon after being admitted to his room, he complained to the nurse, "I can't be in here. This man won't stop looking at me. He's really worried about his dog. His dog doesn't know that he's dead." She had assumed that he was seeing things and said, "Oh yeah, what does he look like?" Well, he described the deceased patient perfectly. I could see the chills running down her spine as she was telling us his story. Turns out the man did have a dog as well. The new admit was moved to another room. Jay said, "Well, I don't believe in ghosts. Those aren't real. I want to see it. Tonight, I'm going to provoke it so it can show itself."
Oh, no.
3 a.m. rolls around, and all three of us are at the nursing station. Jay starts playing YouTube videos of various puppy sounds. And soon after, 2 lift team guys come up. And we forget what we're doing and start another conversation. And suddenly, we all hear it, except for Jay. A dog barks. In the same room, loudly, clear as ever. The lift team guy says, "Does someone have a dog in here?" Jen and I simultaneously poop ourselves. That's awesome. Yep. The worst thing you can do, you don't provoke the spirits.
Oh, wow.
You never disrespect the dead.
That's just not good. I mean, that is, I can't even believe somebody would do that. I mean,
yeah, that's just so disrespectful. Yeah,
that's just asking for a whole lot of oh my gods.
It is. So how about another one, Don?
Sure. Look, sounds like we got time.
All right. I think we do. We got a time for maybe a couple more. So when I worked in a nursing home, there was a elevator between the levels as well as stairs at the far end. It was shaped like a big U, with the nurse's station on one tip of the U and the residents spread out around the unit. So hypothetically, you could see all the exits and stop any confusion, confused residents. I was studying to be an RN at the time, so I always did night shift. And here's the thing, though. The elevator would randomly, one night, go from the top floor to the bottom, and then about an hour later, come back up to the floor you were on. I don't think anything of it, thinking it was just some kind of quirk in the system or something, and that was the night. That was until the night I saw her, the lady in pink.
Mm.
I was at the nurse's station studying and looked up to see what looked like a resident who had a sundowners in pink walking without her walker to the elevator from her room on the other end of the unit. So me being a good nurse, I ran to stop her, falling down the stairs, but here's the thing. I get there, and she's not there. So I check her room, and the sides of her bed are up, and she's unconscious. Then, as I'm walking back, I notice the call button is lit up. The elevator opens, the door closes, and the elevator moves. No one's in it. I tell my coworkers the next morning, just me on night shift, and they tell me it's the lady in pink. They tell me they had this huge Samoan guy who worked there 2 weeks doing nights until he saw the lady in pink, and then he quit. So me being the big, strong, masculine figure I was, I did the only logical thing. I quit and got a job as security in a high-security psych facility. I prefer my danger visible. Thank you very much.
Oh, wow.
Well, there is that. I mean, it does help if you can see it coming. That's pretty wild. And it doesn't sound like it's overly dangerous. I just think some people just don't even want to be encountering any of this. Like, just right. Just to even come encounters with it is too much.
Yeah, that's how I like mine too. You know, non-existent.
I like all my action three-dimensional.
I'm sorry, I need a little more mass. You got to give me something here.
You are physically challenged, literally. Boom. All right, next one. My mom used to be an RN at a hospital in a small western town, and this hospital was connected to a senior living home, and at night, The RN watched both sides of the building, the hospital and the living home. And she was usually the overnight RN and would have either one or two CNAs working as well. And she has experienced this apparition about 6 or 7 times during her 10-year stint. And everyone referred to him as the apparition as the man in black. Each experience was identical except for the location in the building. Frequently throughout the night, she would have to do her rounds, checking vitals, etc., and would have to walk around a corner from the nurse's station / ER towards the 6 beds in the hospital and towards the senior home. She would see the apparition either right after rounding the corner or right after walking out of her room and walking to the next. Outside of the next room, she would see the same apparition. The apparition was of a person in a black, old West type suit with worn black cowboy boots and worn black cowboy hat to match. The creepiest thing about this man, assuming, is that his face was not very distinct. She would describe it as though a man's face was drawn with charcoal and slightly smeared, making it slightly blurred. He was about 6'5" tall and would tower over her at 5'5", but whenever she would see him, whether it's 10 feet or 3 feet away, he would stand there looking at her and then turn and walk into the room he was outside of. When she would walk into that room, he would not be any other person in there. That's how it's written, I'm sorry, or anything out of place. The first few times scared her to a panic, but she slowly just went on without letting it freak her out. But with this man came some extra attention to the patient. The kicker was that in about 90% of all of the experiences seen by other RNs as well, the patient's health would deteriorate in the next few days, and the patient most often passed away shortly after. So whenever the overnight RN saw the man in black, extra precautions would be taken with that patient. Another weird thing about the apparition is that it always seen by just the RN, not a single CNA has personally seen the apparition. My mom always said that he knew who would be able to help the most at the time. I, on the other hand, took it as a completely opposite. I always thought that it was almost to mock the RNs because he would let them know that something was going to happen, but they couldn't do anything to stop it. Even though I am not an RN to see him, it still creeps me out every time I walk down the halls and she points out where she has seen him. Wow. So, yeah, maybe it's another harbinger. Maybe he is trying to help. Like, hey, you might want to check this one out. It's not looking good. You know, because I, you know, to get kind of esoteric here, I think that, you know, of course, people that are, you know, ill or having troubles, I'm sure their energy field fluctuates. And perhaps for an apparition or a spiritual being, that would be just completely obvious. And he's trying to say, hey, this one might need a hand. Or he could be the guy making it happen. You never know.
You know, when you described him, you described him as it was described as a man in a black Western suit.
Yes, like, you know, consider like on the old Westerns, like maybe the fancy gunslinger type. You know, they got the black and
yeah. What I thought of though was the black belt from like Amityville.
I guess I don't remember
the old Bible thumper guy, you know, but he was the, forget it. Anyhow,
meaning from Poltergeist too.
Yes. That's what I meant.
You said Amityville.
Amityville. Yeah, I did. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, yeah. I agree. That's that would be an old Western type of suit for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, very cool. But anyway, I think that's going to wrap up our journey tonight, Don. Anything you got before we go?
No, just thank you very much. And it's, you know, it's always a pleasure to be doing this for you.
Yeah, it's a great pleasure to be doing a podcast you guys are interested in. Thank you so much for all the wonderful emails we're receiving from all of you out there that are checking out the podcast and becoming acquainted with us. It's an absolute pleasure to be a part of your day. I'm truly honored. And please check out our YouTube channel at youtube.com/paranormalportal. And follow us on Facebook if you're interested in any updates for the show. That's where they'll be posted. We're working on a webpage, but that's not quite live yet. So we're using Facebook for all of our notifications or anything going on. So you can find us at facebook.com/paranormalportalradio. If you have an encounter of your own or something you'd like to share with us, we'd love to hear about it. You can email us at paranormalportalradio@gmail.com. And we're on Twitter. If you want to get over to Twitter and help us break 100, that'd be great. We're at like 92 now. So we're getting closer, but head over to find us on Twitter. We are at Paranormal Portal, P-O-R-T-L, all one word. So we'd love to keep in touch with you guys as much as possible, but please continue to come back. If you like what you're hearing on the podcast, head over to iTunes and give us a great review. If you don't like it, never mind.
Just move along.
Nothing to see here. Nothing at all. All right, guys, we love you all. Thank you so much. We love you all. Be good, be kind, be nice. Take care of each other. Help each other out. Find the magic in your everyday and remember to laugh as much as you can. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
betting is sweeping across the country faster than the coronavirus, and Wagering Week is your antidote. I'm Tom Barton, and I'm a veteran sports analyst and respected sports handicapper who helped build ESPN's brand. I've been recognized and awarded by Pro Football Weekly and Gaming Today magazine as the honest handicapper. Let the other guys give you the same old boring sports talk with the same tired storylines. We'll give it to you straight here every Friday on Wagering Week. Don't gamble with other podcasts. Let Sports Garden Network's Wagering Week help your bottom line.